This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:05, time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basin Technologies, call 618-372-7077. And by the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro.
A one-point topper lead. All the toppers have to do is hold on to the thing for 0.6 seconds. Here's Katie DeLuca. Katie, a long pass to Satterley. That's it! Toppers win! Toppers are regional champions! The final, Hillsboro 38, Rochester 37. The Toppers will move on to the section of Beardstown on Monday night.
The best the Birds can do is tie. The Sharks to Ringhausen for the tie from midcourt. Nope. The Gillespie Miners are regional champs for the first time since 2002 as the fans storm the floor. How about that? Gillespie has done it. Kevin Gray has the Miners back on top. They are headed to Beardstown to play on Monday night.
And that's how it sounded Thursday night here on FM 106. Welcome to Sports Saturday, and congratulations to the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers and the Gillespie Miners, both regional champs for 2012, and they're both off to the Beardstown sectional.
The far north.
How lucky can you get?
Well, if you're Hillsboro, you can get much, much luckier.
An interesting statistics.
Here we go.
Quincy Notre Dame played 2 games in that tournament.
Yes.
And they had teams come within 62 points of them.
Yeah, unbelievable. They have basically not really had a close game all year long, and they will get the toppers Monday night.
Well, the only close game they had, I guess, was with Edwardsville. And they won that by 1 point. So
Edwardsville State ranked in 4A, obviously.
Yeah. Unbelievable. They are a terrific team, but you always want to have the opportunity to knock off the big boys.
Oh, yeah.
The big gals, I guess, in this case. So.
And from Hillsboro's perspective, we've always talked about it on the sports show, their schedule's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, year in, year out, they play people. They don't shy away. So Hillsboro won't have that deer in the headlights look going up against Quincy Notre Dame Monday night.
At least you hope not. And with the tournaments they play, like in Highland and Taylorville, and seeing a lot of bigger schools. Of course, I haven't seen Quincy Notre Dame this year. I saw them on TV last year, so... don't know how it's going to shake out.
I just remember last year after seeing Bloomington Central Catholic beat Litchfield in the Elite Eight, thinking, boy, if they don't win it, I'd like to see the team that beat them.
Yeah.
And, of course, Q&D beat them for the state title a year ago. So, obviously, an elite basketball club, to say the least. But we will have Gillespie-Williamsville Monday night from Beardstown live at 6. Hillsboro against Q&D will follow at 8:10. All the action right here on FM 106 and, of course, streaming at WSMIRadio.com. And for the Gillespie Miners, it's been a long time coming, but Kevin Gray has him back on top in 2 short years.
That's, well, it's been longer than that because Kevin's had these kids for a long, long time at
that's
the lower
true.
Levels.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how you rebuild a program that was struggling a bit. And these girls are just such good friends. They stick together. They've been together for a long time. And Kevin just does a great job. He's such a knowledgeable guy and just really an easygoing guy just to talk to. Now, I think he gets a little more intense during practices, of course. But he has a great demeanor about himself, and he does a great job.
But to me, when a coach is like that, to me, that's the perfect demeanor
for
a coach to have. If you're screaming and yelling all the time, it becomes white noise.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're calm a majority of the time, then when you have to get on your kids, it gets their attention and it sticks.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more and more of the successful coaches in girls basketball, other sports also, but in girls basketball lately. If you look back at some of the successful teams over the years, they have started working with these girls about the 4th grade and have just taken them on up with their program, and by the time they get into high school, they're comfortable with it, and they just get better.
And that's how you have to do it. I mean, a lot of the football schools around here are involved in JFL, and you build your programs that way. You keep kids interested in that way. And you know, you might, there's going to be a little bit of attrition along the way. But for the most part, you at least give them the opportunity to compete, to play, to learn to enjoy the ball game. If you don't enjoy it, you shouldn't be playing it. Just be honest. You shouldn't be in it if you don't enjoy it.
The misnomer that you can't enjoy the game and play it by the rules, you know, that you can do both.
Absolutely.
And do it very successfully.
I don't know about you, Tim, but we had a really good week of basketball as far as the regionals are concerned. I think both at Southwestern and at North Mac this week. It was a lot of fun, and not only did it have a nail-biter on the championship game, of course, Rochester and the double overtime win, which was just an unbelievable ball game, on Tuesday night against the Purple Panthers of Litchfield. And you know, I just want to say kudos to Shelby Smith. She did just about everything she could do. What a tremendous, tremendous athlete that young lady is. Just awesome.
And to all the Lady Panthers, remarkable season. Great careers for the seniors, and obviously not the way they envisioned it ending. But as time passes and they look back on it, they got this program rolling in the right direction. They did great things.
And the thing about Shelby, and I just want to say kudos to her, because she did so many different things. She would post up when she needed to post up. She could bring the ball down when she needed to bring the ball down. I mean, she was a very versatile player. And that doesn't happen very often in any basketball team, boys or girls. And she had, you know, the cast of characters were such good complementary characters to go along with it, all the other seniors especially. They were just, you know, bonded together. They had a single-minded goal. So, you know, obviously not the way they wanted it in, but what a great year it was for Litchfield, you know, 23-3.
And don't forget that Shelby Smith tore her ACL in the Super Sectional last year, and she was back for day one this year for her senior year. You were talking about the camaraderie between the Gillespie players. Litchfield's the same way. I was there on senior night when they played Greenville a couple weeks ago, and you could just see it on their faces that they genuinely cared for each other. That's not always the case.
No, it's not always the case.
It certainly was the case with Litchfield. So hats off for not only a great season, but a great career.
Well, and a program that has been revived and thrives.
Yes.
It, you know, has been tremendously successful, and the younger kids now will point to this group of girls and say, look what they did, you know, and that will be their inspiration. So kudos to the Lady Panthers, the seniors especially, for all their effort, for being together for such a long time, being such a terrific group of young ladies.
And we'll never know for sure what factor it played, if it played a factor at all. And it might sound like an excuse. Maybe it is an excuse, or maybe it's just fact. But Litchfield had that long layoff.
8 days.
From the end of the regular season, 8 days from the last regular season game to that regional semifinal. Of course, Rochester played in the quarters, so they were coming off of already a postseason game. Who knows what that played, if it played a role at all, but it's an undeniable fact that Litchfield had 8 days off between games.
With the exception of the Hillsboro game on championship night, in spite of the fact Toppers were shut out for about 11 minutes in the second half.
How about that? And won?
By Rochester, and won. But the Toppers actually shot well from the free throw line that night. That was the only team that did that the whole week. Every other game, the free throw shooting was absolutely atrocious for every team. Every team. I've never seen anything like it.
In the Litchfield-Rochester game, it was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
That was maybe
both teams had opportunities to cash in.
Oh, yeah, put that game away from the free throw.
Sometimes that makes a loss a little bit harder to swallow when you lose by a point and you look back and you see all the free throws that you missed. That can eat at you if you let it.
Sure. And getting back to Shelby Smith, she's a young lady. As you watched her, as you said a year ago, she had the ACL tear and came back from that and had a tremendous year. But she's a player, when you talk of girls playing basketball in high school, she's a player that names that pop to mind that you compare her with, her someone like an Olivia Lett, a Hope Schulte. You put her in that class because she could do, as you said, Terry, everything on the floor that needed to be done.
And I know Bob Allen has mentioned this before. What a great group of mentors the seniors were for these younger kids coming along at Litchfield. I mean, these ladies were, you know.
Yeah.
They laid the foundation. They really did. And kudos to them. They're going to be hugely successful. You know, basketball is just a small part of their life. You know, they're all going to be successful in whatever other endeavors they get into, and we wish them the very best. And but it was exciting. You got to admit it. It was a heck of a ball game.
That's right. And, you know, the saying, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
That's right.
How would it have been different if Kelce Going hadn't fouled out?
Yeah.
Never know.
That's
That was a big loss for him in that game,
no doubt. The free throws were one thing, but when Kelce Going picked up her fifth foul, you knew it was going to change the complexion of the ball game, because Kelce, even if she doesn't score a whole lot defensively,
she demands the attention.
And then she demands the attention on the offensive end, and she makes everybody else so much better.
Because
she is a presence in there.
Yeah, they were just a fun team to watch.
Fun team to watch. Great guard play. They were so deep. You saw a myriad of players and a different combinations. And again, kudos to the seniors. They did a great job. And senior laden team, Hillsborough. Senior laden team.
Yep. Absolutely.
They took advantage of the opportunity to be in the regional and won it. And Gillespie, on the other hand, has only one senior, Lana Nicole Manalia, on their ball club, and here they're regional champions. So, the question now is, keep improving. The expectations get a little more higher each year, and it's a tough thing to do. But if it was easy, everybody could do it.
That's exactly right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Toppers head coach Brett Teakin and Miners head coach Kevin Gray. We will do that following these messages.
Online Bill Pay is here. Now you can pay your bills online safely, efficiently, from one location, securityNB.com. Hi, this is Dan Fleming, president of Security National Bank. SecurityNB.com provides you with the convenience of receiving, viewing, and managing your bills all from one location, securityNB.com. Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securityNB.com. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. We'll have highs in the low 20s, mostly clear for tonight. We'll have a low of about 10 above, and then for tomorrow, becoming cloudy, expect a high in the low 20s. Extended forecast Monday through Wednesday, cloudy skies with snow possible Monday. Partly cloudy skies Tuesday and Wednesday. Will have highs in the upper 30s. The lows will be in the low 20s. Right now at 9:18, we have a temperature reading of 16 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Celebrate your love for that special someone with a Valentine party and make the menu easy and delicious with fresh Prairie Farms dairy products. Your quiche will be unforgettable, made with Prairie Farms cream and sweet creamy butter. Serve plenty of farmer-owned Prairie Farms French onion dip for chips and crackers. Or make a variety of homemade dips for fresh veggies using non-fat sour cream and plain yogurt. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
And at 9:19, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, Tobinot. And on Thursday night, the Lady Toppers knocked off Rochester 38-37 to advance on to the Beardstown Sectional. And joining us right now on the phone, the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers, Brett Teakin. Teak, thanks for a few minutes of your time.
Oh, no problem.
Well, you've been here before, but just describe the ride that this club has provided you this season.
Yeah, it I mean, as loaded as our regional was, I knew everybody had a chance in it, and it was just tough to get through. If you look at the games in that regional, there were some great games.
Survive in advance. That's what it was all about. Teak, when I look back at the ball game, of course, the Toppers or Rochester did a great job of shutting down the offense there at the start of this, through the entire third quarter and the start of the fourth quarter. But Rochester never really took dominant control of the ball game by, you know, just literally blowing you out. And then late in the ball game, I thought one key moment was when Hannah Luckett hit the two free throws.
Oh, yeah, that was huge. JR's teams are going to play good defense. Rochester is a very physical. They're not very big, but they play good defense. And offensively, in the first half, I was really shocked because we were able to do a lot of things in the first half. And then we started missing a few shots, and they were trying to get back into it. And then we started getting a little bit tighter and missing a few more shots. And luckily, we were playing good defensively, too, and we were making things tough on them, so they didn't get a big run on us. Excuse me. And then, Hannah Luckett, it just seemed like, I told the girls afterwards, whenever she made a couple free throws, it just seemed like all the tension just kind of went away from them, and there was a big weight lifted off their back whenever somebody finally put one through the hoop.
Well, Teak, you've been doing this for a while now. Have you ever been shut out offensively for 11 minutes and won the game?
Boy, I don't know. I would say probably not. You don't see that happen very often, and that's one thing we try to preach is that offense can come and go, but defense has got to be there all the time. And that was a perfect example. If we're not playing well defensively and they get a big run and make it outscore us 14-0 in the third quarter, now we're trying to catch up. But we still had a 3-point lead going into the fourth.
And, Teak, you mentioned to me in the postgame show that you'd reminded the Toppers that Rochester had done the same thing or something similar on opening night against North Mac, where they were down at one point 11-3 early in the game and then went on a 32-0 run to lead 35-11 at halftime. So you reminded the Toppers about that.
Yeah, at halftime, I told them, I said, hey, we got a 12-point lead, but look what Rochester did to North Mac. It's by no means over. We've got to be prepared. We've got to come out and keep executing. And I didn't really think we took a lot of bad shots. I didn't really think we played poorly in the third quarter. It just seemed like we couldn't get anything to fall, and we didn't get any putbacks because they rebounded well. So it wasn't like we just assumed we had it all won and taken care of. We were prepared for it. We just couldn't seem to get over the hump scoring in that third quarter.
I thought there for a while in that third quarter, Coach, you should have called timeout and had the janitor get a ladder and get up there and look and see if JR had put a lid over your basket at halftime.
Well, I was wondering, they've got those rebounding bubbles, and I thought somebody might have snuck one on the rim at halftime there for a while.
Well, it was one of them games, you never forget a win or a win of a regional tournament, but I'm sure this one has to stick in your mind the way it played out. As you said, the first half you guys were not perfect, but you played a heck of a first half. You did basically what you wanted to do offensively and defensively, and then came out at the half and everything went sour. So it's a game you won't forget.
No, those games stick with you for a long time. Another battle with JR, and they've always been good ones, and to some extent, maybe a little bit unexpected going into the regional. I mean, Litchfield is very good, and Rochester very good, and you just like Terry says, you survive in advance, and we were able to sneak through it.
Teak, talk about this group of seniors that you have here, and you know they had a pretty tough act to follow, and how they progressed over their career and really kept the Topper program on track.
Yeah, not many of them. We were 13-16 last year. The year before that, we had a group of seniors that we won 25 games with and won a regional and made the sectional final with. And really, of this senior group, the only ones that had very much playing time with them was Rachel Puckett as a sophomore and Aaron Satterly somewhat as a sophomore. And Faith also dressed varsity on that team but didn't really get a lot of playing time. So last year, even though we were predominantly juniors and we had one senior last year, they were really inexperienced. So we went through some some lumps last year. We were hoping to be over 500. We finished 13-16 and really thought that, this year we'd be set up to have another good year. And a lot of people kind of overlooked us at the beginning of the year because we hadn't had that great a year last year. And I think we were able to prove some things as the year went along, and the girls kind of felt that all along, that they felt like they had something to prove and they wanted to get back to a 20-win season and have some success, and they were able to do that.
And it started out as kind of an uphill battle, because if we reflect back to last fall when the season first started, you had some bumps in the road for a few games.
Yeah, you look at the Thanksgiving tournament, and in November, it's hard to really be sure what's going to happen and stuff, but we had a couple losses early that maybe you look back and say we shouldn't have had, but that's going to happen to a lot of teams. And then early December, we have Faith Burkett go down with a dislocated kneecap, and she never did really make it back. I was happy for her. She was able to shoot in the three-point contest at regionals and advanced one round. But then we had to start plugging some more people in that wasn't really prepared to be in those roles. So in January, we kind of started hitting a little bit of a groove and playing better.
But we'd be quick to point out, Coach, when you said you had to plug some people in, you had some people that stepped up and were ready to be plugged in, so to speak.
Yeah, Katie DeLuca was our first guard off the bench, and she took over the spot for Faith right away and had a huge game against Litchfield whenever we were able to beat them with 17 points. And she's been steady. And then a little bit later on in the year, Hannah Wiggins, who was out most of last year with an injury, started shooting the ball really well and was giving us a lot of good minutes. So she's been starting here for about the last 7 or 8 ball games. So those two really came in and picked us up whenever we needed some help.
Hillsborough head coach Brett Teakin joining us here on Sports Saturday. Teak, you mentioned the strength of the regional that you just won at North Mac, but your schedule all season long, probably the toughest out of every team in the South Central. Just talk about how your strength of schedule year in, year out prepares you for these types of situations.
Well, years ago, whenever Hope Schulte and that crew were coming through, we decided we needed to bump up the schedule and play a little better competition. So we got in the Taylorville Thanksgiving tournament and got into Highland and added a couple teams. And whenever they left, our ADs were kind of like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep it or do you want to back off? And I was like, let's keep it. You play them and it's going to prepare you. And I think we played Salem. We lost to Salem and Highland at the Highland tournament, beat a good Alney team. You go to Taylorville, you see some AA schools there. We've added the Jerseyville tournament where you see Cahokia, Granite City. And you just become very battle tested and you face good teams and you get used to that competition. When you get a lot of pressure, it doesn't seem to bother you quite as much.
And as tough as your schedule is, I dare to say that you haven't seen a team like you'll see on Monday night.
No, I don't think we've seen anything like that. I think we've probably seen some teams that put on the same type of pressure, but they aren't as long and athletic. Whenever you're talking about some people at the top of a press being 6 foot, 6'1", and it's basically going to be kind of like facing four Hope Schulte's out there with about 2 inches longer.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
As you look at Quincy Notre Dame, obviously state top of the rankings of the state, beat Edwardsville 4A, but I guess it's one of those deals, it's the postseason, and you just got to be better than them for 32 minutes on one night.
Yeah, that's what we've talked about. If we played them 100 times, they'd probably beat us 99, but maybe this could be the one time that we're able to catch them at maybe not their top of the game, and we play very well and shoot well and rebound well. And I mean, this is postseason. You never know what might happen. So we're going to go and play hard and see if we can handle the press the best we can and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, I know there are several other teams that you were in the regional this week would gladly trade places with.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And we were talking to the girls, and it was kind of like, well, I mean, you're going to have to meet somebody somewhere along the line. It's not like you can get to a state tournament without playing somebody good.
Yeah.
So we're kind of looking forward to it in that it's going to be a huge challenge. But I don't know. We'll have to see. I haven't seen them in in person or anything. I have seen a little tape on him and stuff, but it'll be interesting to see him in real person and see how we can match up with him.
First real challenge you'll have, Teet, is a two-hour bus ride up there to Beardstown.
The IHSA didn't do us any favors with our travel time to sectionals, that's for sure.
Well, Teek, we thank you for your time this morning. Congratulations on the regional championship, and we will see you on Monday night.
Okay, thank you.
Brett Teek and the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers, yep, and Terry, will be making the two-hour trek as well.
Yes, at least it's not a three-hour tour.
Well,
if it was that, we would really be in trouble.
We would be in trouble there, absolutely.
What?
That's a long haul.
Yes, it is.
A long haul.
And regardless of what happens Monday night, guys, Coach Teetkin and these girls can be proud of what they've accomplished this year. They had some bumps in the road, but they can be proud of what they accomplish and not giving any quarter to Quincy Notre Dame. But they're probably going to face the state champion because if these girls don't win it, of course, last year everybody said that Bloomington Central Catholic was the team to beat, and they were the team to beat, but Quincy Notre Dame beat them.
They got the QND, they were the team to beat.
And you look back this season, though, let's look back at the whole season here, especially the South Central Conference, when you had the likes of Litchfield and Pena and Hillsboro, you know, very good teams, Vandalia, an up-and-coming team in the South Central Conference. You had Marquette. I mean, Southwestern's always a pest in there, you know, even though they may not have had the success this year that they had as far as record-wise, they're still Southwestern. So, you know, a really good year for the South Central Conference, and they still have a couple of teams alive and participating in the sectionals now with Pena winning last night at the regional at Macon. So,
of course, next year Gillespie going back
to
South Central. Yeah. So, in a way.
Well, you know, and that's – and gosh, I'm really anxious to see Gillespie and Staunton back in the South Central. It just makes – to me, it makes a lot of sense, and that's the way the South Central should be. I'm not saying anything bad about the Prairie State Conference, but, you know, for so many years, Gillespie and Staunton were mainstays in the South Central.
And joining us on the phone now, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, Kevin Gray. Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time.
Good morning, everybody.
Well, I talked to you before the ball game on Thursday night and asked you if you slept the night before. You said you did, but you didn't know how you would sleep on Thursday night. How did you sleep?
Not very well.
A nice, restless night, wasn't it?
Well, I knew it was going to be an emotional night either way. And I'm glad it worked out to be emotionally that way. But I don't think I'm the only one who didn't sleep well. I don't think all of our girls got a good night's sleep either. So,
well, Kevin, now that you've had a few days to kind of digest what happened, just your thoughts on being regional champs.
Well, I really didn't think this team this year was the kind of team that was going to be able to compete for a regional. I really thought we were a year away. And I told the girls that. But when the regional alignments came out and we saw who we were going to be playing, I told them, you know, someone's going to come out a regional champion out of this, and there's no reason why we can't do that. We had gotten beat by Staunton twice in real close games, Southwestern twice in relatively close games, and we made a big comeback against Southwestern in the county tournament. So we had an idea, you know, that we could play with them. It's just a matter of we could put together two consistent games, which at times, that's sort of been an issue with us. But and we knew Southwestern, if they were able to advance to the final, well, they're going to be a tough out on their home floor. And just because, you know, their style in which they play and the history and their coach, it wasn't going to be an easy task for us, but we felt that we could play with them.
And it seemed like your kids, and understandably so, maybe a little bit, I don't know if jittery is the right word, but early on, maybe a few mistakes that you don't normally make, but once you guys got settled in, you were off and rolling and never trailed once you took the lead for the first time.
Offensively, we weren't very good early. I thought defensively kept us in the game. And Southwestern missed a couple of shots early, which also helped us out. I think the Hall girl hit a three at the top of the key. First possession maybe into the second quarter.
Banked it in,
yeah. So they went up 9-4. And then we were able to get a couple baskets, and boy, our energy level just went off the chart for about the next 6 minutes. And I think we went on a 13-1 run, maybe.
Mm-hmm, that sounds right.
Yeah. So, and Chelsea Gill hit a big basket for us right at the end of the quarter, and I was really pleased the way how we responded under the condition.
And when you get those buckets at the end of a quarter, especially at the end of the second quarter, when you're going into that 10-minute halftime, those, for whatever reason, are big momentum swings.
Yeah, they were. We outscored them 13-4 in the second quarter, and after all said and done, they outscored us in three of the four quarters, but that second quarter was really the difference. And I think in the second quarter, our bench energy was the difference.
And you've been able to count on your bench all year long, Kevin. It's just you have no problem looking down the line and say, okay, in you go.
Chelsea Gill is our sixth girl, but I really consider her a starter because she's in many minutes that she plays. But the other sophomores that I have coming off the bench, Kaylee Morris, Molly Gray, and then also Tyler Ross, they've gained a lot of experience this year, early in the year. Yeah, I think they weren't comfortable, in playing varsity minutes. But as the years went on, which I've always had confidence in them. And as a group, I've always had confidence in them. And I think they probably didn't have as much confidence in themselves than as what I did. But I knew the latter part of the season, this kind of style that we have to play to be successful. I needed 8 or 9 girls, and I'm really, really proud of them.
Good teams always have a defensive spark plug that comes off the bench, and especially in that semifinal win over Staunton, Tyler Ross and Molly Gray, once they came in defensively, they seemed to turn the tide for your club.
First half, had a strategy. I was really going to protect my big girls because Sophie Fairman is so athletic. And I knew Troy was going to really pound it into her. And, we started playing a little bit of cat and mouse with them defensively. But when we got down by 8 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, I knew we had to really step it up defensively, extend the pressure, and go full court. And they come off the bench and provided so much energy. And they lifted everybody. And we were able to overcome it. An 8-point deficit, now scoring by 12 in the last quarter and a half.
Kevin, isn't it amazing how a defensive stop or two just flips a switch and energizes your offense? It's a great thing to see in basketball. And to be able to call upon a couple of gals to come off the bench to be able to come in and throw that switch just gives you so much confidence going into the, down the stretch in the last 4 minutes of that ball game.
We've displayed that really from the first game of the season with Carrollton. We were down by 22 or 23 late third quarter, I think actually beginning of the fourth quarter, and actually overcame the deficit at Carrollton, got the lead by 1 and ended up losing by a couple points. But from the first game, I saw a passion and a desire from this group. And, they maintained that throughout the year. We had a lot of comebacks. Some of them came up a little bit short, but they never quit, and it really was spearheaded by our defense. If you've seen us play, we're not very intimidating. We're not a strong team. We don't play power basketball, and we don't score, in the 60s and 70s. Our success is really based around our defense. And when we play defense, good things have happened to us.
Kevin, I might disagree with you a little bit there. I would say that your club is intimidating just from the standpoint nobody likes pressure. And you guys pressure the entire ball game. No matter where the basketball is at on the floor, you guys are applying pressure constantly.
Well, I guess it's a different kind. I don't think most teams really look at it as intimidators. But maybe pesky is a better word. But, our strength really is our defense. When we're playing defense and start extending the other team away from the basket, and we'll have some success. When we allow the opponent to start their offense closer to the basket and get multiple shots in the paint, that's when we have issues.
Well, Coach, good luck on Monday night, and regardless of what happens from here on out, looking down the road, next year you'll be back home cooking, so to speak, in the South Central, and of course South Central has a history year after year. Every night you go out to play one of those opponents, it's a battle.
Yeah, the South Central Conference, from multiple years now, has had multiple teams advanced quite deep into the playoff runs. There is not going to be one easy game. Each night you have to bring your best, and it's going to be a challenge. Not taking anything away from Prairie State, because there's some quality teams at the top, but from top to bottom, there's no comparison as far as the level of play. We'll be fortunate enough that we'll have everybody back except from Lonnie for this year, so hopefully we'll be able to be competitive.
Gillespie Miners head coach Kevin Gray joining us here on Sports Saturday. You mentioned Lonnie Nicole Manalia, your lone senior, of course, but when I was talking to you guys after the championship on Thursday night, you could just see in all the girls' faces the love they have for Lonnie Manalia.
Yeah, she's a quiet leader, and she has played for 4 years the way that I wanted her to play. And, she's not a big scorer, but she does all the things that that you look for from a coach. She plays defense. She always plays defense against the opponent's best guard. She's a lot better defensive player than she is offensively. She's a lot better passer than a scorer. But she always has played with heart, and she's always been a team player. And the girls just love her.
And what a way for this young lady to go out as a senior is to be headed for play in the sectional tournament.
Yeah, especially when you consider when she was a freshman and sophomore, I think we won 3 games combined. Mm. So quite a turnaround for her.
Absolutely. Kevin, how important, as you look at it now, was your involvement at the lower levels before you became the varsity coach?
I started with the sophomore bunch, getting together as third graders. And we went as fourth graders, start playing in, of course, the local venue, which, Cardinalville's and Nakoma's and all that. But also took them up to Springfield to play, up at the gym in a really competitive league. That's really where they found out how to play and what the level that you have to play at to be successful. And so they got exposed early to really, really good basketball. We weren't very good back then because we were so tiny, but they learned how to play hard and not to be afraid. And, and I told them that one of these days you'll grow up, you'll be stronger, you'll be able to shoot the ball a little bit better, and that's where you'll start having some success. And time has finally arrived.
And now you're regional champs, and you will get Williamsville on Monday night in the first semifinal at the Beardstown Sectional. Just your thoughts on Williamsville.
My son played against John Hampton when he was the boys coach at Riverton. And back then, of course, the Riverton boys had a couple of really good kids in the post, Martinez, and I can't recall the other one, maybe you guys can recall. So he played a lot of high-low stuff. But wherever John's been, his mantra has always been strong man-to-man defense, full court. And that's what we're going to see from them. I saw them play last year up at Rochester in the sectional. I was impressed how hard his kids played. They're deliberate on offense. They have an understanding where they're trying to get the ball to their scorers. We're going to see a team that's similar to us in a lot of regards, and it's going to depend how well we can handle their pressure.
Kevin Gray, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, congratulations on the regional title, and we will see you Monday night.
Oh, thank you very much, guys. Hopefully we can provide some energy like we did at Southwestern.
I have no doubt about that.
I'm sure you will.
All right, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, thanks for your time, Kevin. Kevin Gray, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. They are a fun team.
Well,
I haven't seen a team defensively like them in a long time. There's no quitting them.
Well,
they play defense like most people want to play offense.
Yeah, well, let me just say this. That's how Kevin Gray played.
Well,
they get it honestly.
It shows.
This guy knows what he's doing.
And how often we talk about it, though, that a team is reflective of their head coach.
Mm-hmm. Perfect example.
And it's good to see a team, as he said, you know, freshmen and sophomores, they won three games, and now they're headed for the sectional
tournament. You know,
that's what sports is all about.
Well,
right,
and then, you know, Gillespie had such a great run for such a long time. And then, you know, as things do, they cycle through.
Yeah.
You know, and then you build things back up, and here the Miners, you know, are able to win a regional tournament this year after, 10 years, 11 years, whatever
years.
It was. You know, it's just good to see. It's been exciting. I don't know about you guys, and you know, you hate to see teams lose, but this has been a terrific week of basketball.
Oh, it really
it just enthralls me every year when we go through a regional tournament week.
And Terry, you would be able to speak to this better than I could, but Southwestern and Gillespie historically has been such a rival. The two best programs in Macoupin County over a long period of time. This rivalry is about to take off again.
Oh, you know, we talked about when the Hillsborough girls were the state tournament champs and the battles with Hillsborough painted there for a couple of years. This was Gillespie and Southwestern for a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, this was they'd meet in the championship game of the Macoupin County tournament, turn around the next Monday night and play again. I mean, these guys were just at each other's, you know,
throats.
Absolutely. Terrific competition. Love those games.
Oh, man.
You know, the crowd would come. They were jacked up. The place was full. You know, that's girls basketball at its best when you get two rivals. And, you know, everybody just wants to beat the other team so bad. But, you know, at the end of the ball game, they shake hands they walk off and they appreciate the effort from the other team.
And Gillespie couldn't be getting back into the South Central at a better time.
Oh, great.
The program
time.
Is on the rise. Yeah. Southwestern's got a nice crop of freshmen coming in next year, so this is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Look at what's coming in. Look at what the South Central is going to look like next year.
Buddy.
Just take a look up and down.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Loaded. Incredible. Especially for basketball, I think is going to be really, really good for the conference.
Especially not knowing exactly what's on the boys program, but especially looking at girls basketball in the South Central, it was great this year, but it's going to be great again next year.
Well,
look at the program.
You've got a lot of underclassmen playing on the boys side of things right now in the South Central, Ralph and Tim. And, you know, these kids step up next year. I think we're going to see a big increase in the skill level of boys basketball next year. I really do.
The depth of the conference is from top to bottom outstanding.
God, how fortunate are we to have that conference that we can follow, you know, and see these games.
Well, you always say, Terry, the hotbed of girls basketball.
Battle overnight.
You take Route 16 and you go a few miles either side, and the best girls basketball in the state most of the time is right here.
Yeah,
and I'll put teams up and down, you know, Route 16 against anybody in the state.
Yeah, and Pena loses scarcely anybody off of their girls team.
Yeah.
Litchfield is loaded with underclassmen. Hillsborough's got quite a few girls.
Southwestern's got the eighth grade team that finished second in the state coming in.
Gillespie.
Gillespie's coming back. And, you know, Carlinville's going to be a lot better.
Carlinville's got a lot of young players. Fairman's back for Staunton.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Litchfield's got their crop of freshmen.
Sure. There's just so many you know, Greenville's getting better. Vandalia's getting better. There's just so many pluses, especially on the girls' side of things, for the South Central Conference next year. And you know how I am, Tim. I always circle that first day of the basketball season on my calendar. We'll get done, and I'll circle the date, man.
And next year, no divisions.
Yeah.
No East, no West.
Yeah.
So they're all lumped
together.
That is going to be great. But we got a long way to go for that. We still got sectional basketball Monday night from Beardstown. Gillespie and Williamsville at 6. We'll have Hillsborough and Quincy Notre Dame at 8. All the action Monday night right here on WQSMI FM 106. We need a break. Sports Saturday back following these messages.
Max B. Mullen's salvage prices have been unseasonably warm, just like the weather. Sell your prepared iron for $290 a ton. Sell your complete cars with title and tin for $260 a ton. And Max B. Mullen Salvage is paying top dollar on all sorts of other scrap metals like copper, aluminum cans, and more. Hurry into Max B. Mullen Salvage in Mount Olive now and turn your scrap metal into cash.
Online Bill Pay is here. Now you can pay your bills online safely, efficiently, from one location, securityNB.com. Hi, this is Dan Fleming, president of Security National Bank. SecurityNB.com provides you with the convenience of receiving, viewing, and managing your bills all from one location, securityNB.com. Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securityNB.com. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:49, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. Expect a high in the low 20s. Mostly clear for tonight. We'll have a low of about 10 degrees. Then for tomorrow, becoming cloudy skies yet again. Expect a high Sunday in the low 20s. Extend a look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy skies. There is a chance of snow possible for Monday. Partly cloudy skies for Tuesday and Wednesday. Expect highs in the upper 30s, the lows in the low 20s. Winter is definitely back. Right now at 9:50, we have a temperature reading of 17 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice. Tonight, the Last Chance Saloon is hosting Kelsey and Jenny of the Still Kickin' Band. They'll be in to rock the house, and the new kitchen is open at the Last Chance Saloon. Carryouts are available. Don't forget, it's tonight at the Last Chance Saloon. Don't miss Kelsey and Jenny of the Still Kickin' Band. The new kitchen is open, carryouts available. It's all at the Last Chance Saloon, half a mile north of Standard City on the North Standard City Road.
Oh, we're back.
And at 9:51, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, thank you very much, Tobin. We are back here on Sports Saturday. And
sorry,
believe
about
it
that.
Or not,
that's all right.
A week from today, spring training for the St. Louis Cardinals officially gets underway. Now, a lot of the players, pitchers, and catchers are already
right there
down in Florida getting set. And from all accounts, guys, Adam Wainwright is looking good.
Mm-hmm. Adam Wainwright is so hungry.
Oh, man.
To play a ball game. It's unbelievable.
I mean, they're having to dial him back. I mean,
yeah,
he's ready
yeah.
to go. He's talking about wanting to throw 200 innings and making 35 starts.
Yeah.
Let's slow down.
Yeah.
Take it easy. But remember, though, he got hurt so early last year that by opening day, he will be a full year removed from his surgery. You know, normally guys don't get hurt, you know, the first day of spring training.
True.
Are late sometimes, last half of the season.
Right.
So then they're not only out for the rest of that season, but a lot of times for the next season.
Sure. And Wainwright, I think, has been so tenacious in his work ethic in coming back from this. A lot of times it takes a year, year and a half to kind of get back to your point of being consistent. I think Wainwright's is going to be there pretty much right off the bat.
There was an article in the Post-Dispatch yesterday, I think maybe the day before, they were talking about Adam Wainwright, and he was, you know, quoted in the story, of course, but he was saying they were asking him if he was having trouble snapping off his curveball. And he said, no. He said, but maybe that's because I blew my elbow out on a fastball.
Yeah.
So, you know, mentally he doesn't have that hurdle of, when I snap this off, is it going to hold? Because he hurt it on a fastball, strangely enough. So, with his hook, oh, buddy. And pitchers always come back stronger with Tommy John for whatever reason.
They do,
And I still say, and be smarter next fall, but I still say, this Cardinal ball club will be a better ball club than they was last year.
That's right. They may not win the World Series again.
No.
But for a 162-game season, I agree with you, Uncle Ralph, because the bullpen is settled from the start of the season.
Yeah.
You're going to have Wainwright back for the start of the season. So, I mean, yeah, you could make the case that they should be better for the 6 months.
And I tell you what, you know, a lot of bad mojo has been going on with the Albert Pujols thing, and I hope people just kind of let it die down.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of starting to
die
down.
I hope so, because Albert Pujols is one of the best players in baseball. He did so many great things for the city of St. Louis, and I really don't want the people of St. Louis to have this bad image of Albert Pujols. I really don't, because he's such a terrific
person.
That's
right, and I don't think they will. I mean, I think, especially like the last month or two, I think people have started to calm down a little bit about it, and once spring training starts and there's Cardinal baseball, I think people are going to forget all about it. Because think about it. The Cardinals, they didn't stand pat. You know, they went out. They got Beltran.
Yes.
You know, they've already got Berkman.
Yes.
They've still got Holiday. Freeze has emerged. So when you look at them offensively, there's no reason to think that they can't still be one of the top offensive clubs in the league.
And there were times last year, especially last year, that it seemed to me the team was looking to Albert Pujols to generate all the offense.
Waiting for him to do something.
I think the attitude will not be that way this year. They know they're all going to have to contribute and on a consistent basis.
Where they will miss Albert the most is in those clutch situations. That dude was cash money with the game on the line. Cash money.
I think the attention's now switched to Yachty, because now you're starting to hear buzz. Now Yachty said in a meet and greet with the media, you know, the contract situation, out of my hands, nothing I can do.
Well, there isn't anything he can do.
But I think
he has the choice, though, of whether or not he wants.
It's still a business, though.
Well, I understand you want
to get paid what you are worth. We've talked about it ad nauseum on the show, but Albert, where he ran into the problem with the fans was when he said it wasn't about the money and then he didn't want to play anywhere else, and then he left for the money. That's where he got in trouble. Not that he left. It's how he left. You haven't heard any of those types of quotes from Molina.
No.
I fully expect Yachty to be back.
Yeah.
I think they'll get something done probably in spring training, if not spring training, the start of the year. Because he's got, with Duncan gone now, Yadier Molina is the most important player on the team. The way he handles the staff, controls the running game, and, oh, by the way, now he's a 300.
Well, as much of an offensive threat and the dominance that Albert Pujols had, Yadier Molina was just as important for the Cardinals, if not more important than Albert Pujols ever was, in catching and in calling the game.
The
ability to walk out there and calm a pitcher down. Especially these young guys that have been coming through.
Like a coach on the field.
Like a coach on the field, where the pitching coach doesn't have to make the trip out there, waste a visit. You know, Molina has that ability. And just the great arm that the guy has.
Cannon.
He shuts down the running game. It's absolutely incredible.
I mean, that's what he did in the World Series. Yeah. I mean, the Rangers are a team, they love to run. They stole bases all year long. Get in the World Series, Yachty shut him down.
Yeah.
He's like that great point guard.
Yeah.
He's the field general. He just calms everyone down. Like you said, Terry, those pitchers, they know that when Yachty puts the finger down, that's the right pitch. There's no taking him off.
And another thing, they know when he walks out to the mound, there's something serious.
Right.
You know, and they're going to listen to this guy, because he's been through the wars now. He's been through probably one of the best pitching coaches, and Dave Duncan has absorbed all that information, and he's a guy that, to me, he is the guy the Cardinals have to keep.
I agree completely.
I think that they're, you know, and I like the fact that he's playing for a former catcher.
That helps, doesn't it?
I think that has a huge plus.
And I think that's the biggest star course of them all with the Cardinals, is Matheny being the manager. How he, you know, how his style is going to translate in during the regular season.
He played for La Russa. He's a Cardinal guy.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's going to be as surly as Tony La Russa was to the media.
Surly as Tony was. But don't forget, he also played for Bruce Bochy with the Giants. You know, so, I mean, he's got a couple different pools to gather information from here. And I suspect he's going to be a very good manager. I mean, there's going to be road bumps along the way. I'm intrigued about Matheny from this aspect. Will he play the matchups as much as La Russa did? You know, will we see the lefty-lefty matchup guaranteed all the time? Or will it be just kind of spot lefty, or will he let a pitcher maybe work through some things on the mound? These are the things we just don't know.
Yeah. And that's what's going to make this year a lot more interesting, I think, than Cardinal fans ever thought it could be.
Because
it's going to have a different look to it.
And you look at catchers, there's a lot of successful major league teams who may have a catcher that batted less than 250. But what he had up here working with a pitching staff offset that.
And he was a leading hitter on the Cardinals last year, average-wise.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Yachty was young, they were on about his bad batting average, and La Russa said, I don't care.
Yeah.
Said he can hit .150. He's my catcher.
Yeah.
Because he does so many more things, but when he's hitting .300 like he has the last couple of years, he's the best catcher in the game.
Oh, being in the NL.
Take Joe Mauer.
And,
have him.
Yeah.
I don't want him. I'll take Yachty.
And you know what? Yadi's become clutch as well. He always has been clutch.
Always been clutch. Yeah. Always been clutch. His home run in 06 in the LCS. The two things to Yadi that I remember, the home run against the Mets, and then standing up to Brandon Phillips and punking him out in Cincinnati. Those two things right there. That's why Yadi gets the Yadi chance every time he steps to the plate
at
Busch Stadium.
The main reason I think the Cardinals will be as equally as good, I say better than they were a year ago, is if you look at their division, what did any of the other clubs do in the offseason?
Well, Reds got a little better, but
Cincinnati got a little better.
Cincinnati, but not much.
Pittsburgh's young. They're coming.
Yep. It's going to be fun. Cardinals open spring training a week from today. Monday night, sectional basketball from Beardstown. Gillespie and Williamsville live at 6. It'll be Hillsboro and Quincy Notre Dame at 8. All the coverage right here on the Sports Voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Sports Saturday is done. CNN Radio News right now.